great things he hath done.
Tonight I'll be at a meeting, a tent meeting, at a place called Polksville. You say, where's that? I'm not sure myself. I haven't been there yet. But I've got some directions. Understand, I start out on I-64 till I get to Salt Lick and turn off. And they say it's just a few miles from that. They hope to start a new church there. Brother Jim Finneson is having a week's meeting, having different preachers each night. And so we'll be there Friday night. And we mention it to you that you might remember us in prayer as the Lord brings it to your mind. Then I might say this, that for the church, we believe the Lord's made it very clear that the way we raise offerings for the Lord is through tithes and offerings. But for a school, the Lord hasn't said any specific way. And for a school such as we have, we believe that what we're doing is all right. And these garage sales. And the way I look at it, it's just like this. If a person would come with a pocket knife and say, look, I don't have anything to give to the school, but this pocket knife, I can't use it anymore. I'd like to give it to the school. And say, all right, we'll take it. Somebody else come with a couple chickens and say, I don't have anything, but I have two chickens. Someone else could come with a couple neckties and say, I haven't got anything, but I've got these neckties, and I'll give them. You say, oh, we'll accept all of that, and then we'll turn around and turn it into money. And that's helps too. So this is a way of, I think, being a good steward of the things that God gives us as individuals, and rather than just throw them away, many of these things can be fixed up or used, or somebody would like to have them for some purpose. In fact, sometimes people will take things that look like they're ready to throw away, and they've got a vision. They look at the thing and they can see something very beautiful. They'll take it and make something very useful and good out of it. Sometimes much use, and rather than throw it away, we can turn somebody in, even if it's a dime or 50 cents or a dollar. All together, you can see what this last garage sale did for the school. Over $300 came in, which will help build the building. So we're thankful, and we add our thanks to what Brother Jim said, and encourage you to do all that you can. This evening, we want to go back to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We just briefly mentioned last time a few things about the early verses of the chapter. And tonight we want to speak again about the gift of tongues. In our day, there has been a revival in people speaking in what they think is tongues. Now, when I use the word revival, you can use it in a good sense and a bad sense. If we're having a revival of the Word of God, that's good. People are being revived and drawn closer to the Lord, that's good. Sometimes there might be a revival of something that's bad, even though people might be very sincere in it. And I believe that this revival of people that are interested in what they call tongues, not the Bible tongues, but they believe it. Many people sincerely believe that this is the Bible tongue. What they call tongue, there's been a kind of a revival, and many people have experienced some kind of an experience, and they think that's what the Bible was speaking out. And it has cropped up among even, I understand, Catholics and Episcopalians, people that you wouldn't expect would have any such experience, and among Lutherans, and even among, well, just about every denomination, there have been some people that have said they've had this experience. And I've always listened with great interest to hear how they've described it themselves. And I've heard people interview and say they've had it, and what a wonderful experience, and how they felt, and so on. And I just listened carefully to find out exactly what they meant by it. And I've never found a case yet where they described what took place in the Bible. There's only a few places it's mentioned in the Bible, but I've never found a case yet where what's been described is really what the Bible calls as tongues. Quite interesting, isn't it? Many people think that they have the plan of salvation, but even though they may be sincere, if it's not the plan of salvation in the Bible, it's not the plan of salvation. Some say, well, we have baptism. And they say, oh, we have the baptism. But if it doesn't come up to the baptism that's described in the Bible, it's not baptism. So we need to examine the Bible and be sure that we know God's Word on these matters, that we might be helped ourselves, and then we might be able to help others concerning these matters. Before we read and make any comments, let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that in Him is the fullness of the Godhead. We thank Thee that in Him we're complete and we have everything necessary to save our soul. We thank Thee that He's not only saved us and given us the Holy Spirit and the assurance that our sins are forgiven, but we thank Thee, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And how we rejoice in His second coming and for all the blessings that will come to us. And Lord, as we wait for His coming, help us to be stirred up to do Thy work. Help us, Lord, here at South Lexington Baptist Church, that we might have a zeal and a concern for lost people. Help us as we go about our work and about our day to be watchful, to see how we can speak for the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us always to live in such a way that our life will be a testimony for Him. And Father, we thank Thee for each activity of the church, for each member. We ask Thy blessings upon them. And for each of us, we pray that Thou wouldst help us in our weaknesses and temptations and trials. Help us to get victory over Satan, the world, and the flesh. Father, we thank Thee for our missionaries. We thank Thee for their faithfulness, and we ask that Thy blessings might be upon them. We thank Thee for the faithful schools that teach Thy Word, and we ask Thy blessings upon each of them. And then, Lord, we'd pray for those that are sick, that they might be healed. Again, we remember Vicki Ivy, that Thou wouldst lay Thy healing hand upon her, and most of all, that Thou wouldst touch her heart, that she might be saved. Accept Jesus Christ as her own Savior. Father, we thank Thee also tonight for this little one who's in church tonight for the first time. And we pray that Thou will give Doug and Bethel great wisdom, patience, and love, and truth to bring this little one up in the ways of the Lord. And we pray that at an early age this child might come to know Jesus as Savior. We pray that Thou will bless each of us as parents. We might do the job of raising our children that Thou wouldst want us to do. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us patience. Give us love, and give us all the things we stand in need of as parents, because we know in ourselves we cannot do anything, whether it's raise our children or witness for Thee or do our jobs. We cannot do them aright as we should without Thy power. So, Lord, we pray for Thy help. We pray for the coming revival meeting. Prepare our hearts for that. Pray for the dedication services that will be coming. Be with this meeting all this week at Polksville. We pray that a church might be established there. And we'll give Thee the praise. In the name of Christ we ask it. Amen. In the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is correcting the church because they misused the gift of tongues. Now, the Corinthian church had people that actually had this gift. It wasn't like today. They actually had the gift, but they misused it. Notice in verse 1, he says, follow after charity, or as we'd say today in modern English, follow after love. Have love towards one another. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now here the Apostle Paul is saying this, above all, whatever you do for the Lord, have love with it. Follow love. Whether you speak in tongues, whether you prophesy, whether you teach a Sunday school class, whether you preach a sermon, whether you witness to a person, have love. Have love for your brethren and for other people. Follow after charity. And then he says, and desire that you might have spiritual gifts. Desire that God would give you these different gifts, one of which was the gift of tongues. It was something that they had. And not everybody had it. The first time the gift of tongues came in the world was in Acts, the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended back to heaven. And just think of this. Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ never spoke in tongues? The Bible never said he did. It said for the first time tongues took place in Acts 2. Sometimes a person says, if you don't have that gift, you're spiritually deficient. There's something lacking in your life. Wait a minute. That's not true. That's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have it. The Savior himself. Oh, he had all wisdom. He could speak in any language he wanted to as God. He knew all things. But yet as a man, he did not have the gift of tongues. Not that he couldn't have had, but it wasn't the time for this to be experienced. And you could go back throughout history and look at other great men and see that God did not see fit to give those people the gift of tongues. For instance, John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus Christ said, there's none born among women that's greater than John the Baptist. And yet John the Baptist did not have the gift of tongues. You could go into the Old Testament. Isaiah, that great prophet. Some think him to be the very greatest. And yet, he didn't have the gift of tongues. You could go further back and come to Moses, and some say Moses is the greatest man of the Old Testament period. And perhaps they're right, but yet he didn't have the gift of tongues. God could have given it to him, he could have given it to anyone. But these men who were mighty men of God, Daniel and Joseph, Hezekiah, and we could just mention a host of great men of God, faithful to the Lord, true to him in difficult situations, yet they did not have this miraculous gift. And yet this little church, very small in membership, the first church that Jesus established when he was here upon the earth, this church after Jesus ascended to heaven on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, it says they were the first one to experience, and it happened from time to time throughout New Testament days, and then it came to an end. God sent it for a purpose, and when the purpose was fulfilled, God stopped it. And it is not taught that Christians are to have it today. If God wanted us to have it, surely some Christian today, if the Lord wanted, some Christians today would have this gift of tongues. There's some outstanding Christians that we know. Some perhaps that you've known that you respect as men who are who have really served the Lord, and women who have served the Lord, been faithful to Him and lived the Christian life. And yet God hasn't seen fit to give them that gift. And yet God's used them in salvation of souls and strengthening people and being a great blessing. And yet he hasn't done it. And so this gift came at a certain time in history. It was here for a purpose, and then it stopped. And it's been over for a long time. And what is called tongues today, if you examine it by the Bible, it's not the tongues of the Bible. Notice verse 2 again. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now people say, well, what is an unknown tongue? The word tongue here is just the word language, an unknown language. An unknown language. Now, an unknown language is an unknown, or an unknown tongue is something that you have never learned. Now, when our missionaries have been here and they've spoken in Portuguese or Spanish, those are unknown tongues to me. Oh, I recognize a few words. When they say, si, senor, I think I know what that means. I suppose everybody knows what that means. Well, when they start singing those songs, I could recognize the tunes, but I didn't know the words. I knew the English words, but I didn't recognize the Spanish or the Portuguese words. That tongue is unknown to me, and it's unknown to most of you, except some of our missionary children that are here who already know the language. They were brought up on the mission field. German is an unknown tongue to me. Had a little German, but I can't speak it. Chinese is an unknown tongue to all of us, isn't it? And so, if it's a language that you do not know, it's an unknown tongue. English is a known tongue to me. And it's a known tongue to you. Just remember, the word tongue here is no special Greek word. It's just the regular Greek word for language. And an unknown language is one that you have never learned. And most of the languages of the world are unknown to us because we just, most of us know just one languages. Few people know two, and very few know three or four. Notice what else it says in verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now this is talking about the Corinthian church. It's in the Corinthian church setting. The one that speaketh in an unknown tongue at the Corinthian church where he's writing to is speaking not unto men that are present, because they didn't understand it, but unto God. And at the Corinthian church, what they were doing was this. Somebody would get up in the meeting, and God had given them this gift, and they were so excited about it, they wanted to use that gift immediately. And so they began to speak in an unknown language. And you say, well, why are you doing that? Nobody here tonight knows that language. You're not speaking unto men. Nobody in the congregation knows the language that you're speaking of. Oh, the Lord has given me this, and I want to use it. The Lord understands. The person that's speaking it, seemingly from the context, they would understand. But listen, the rest of the people wouldn't know. What if tonight I just begin to speak to you Chinese, and you say, what is Brother Overby trying to do tonight? Nobody understands him. And I say, well, the Lord's given me the gift of tongues. I want to show it off to you. You wouldn't be edified. You wouldn't be helped in the Lord. You'd just hear a lot of sounds that wouldn't have any meaning to you. And so this is what they were doing at the Corinthian church, and they were using a gift but misusing it, because they were using it just more or less to show off a gift God had given them, and nobody could understand it. And so they were not speaking to men, that is, the men present, because those men couldn't understand it, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, that is, nobody that was present in the meetings at Corinth understood him, albeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. He was speaking great truths. He was speaking the mysteries of God. The Bible speaks of the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of many things. Mystery of Christ. Mystery of the man of sin. And they might speak about these mysteries of the Lord, but nobody would be prophet. It goes on to say, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. He'll speak to the people, and they'll understand. To edification. Edification is building them up. And exhortation and comfort. It'll build them up. It'll exhort them to do the things of the Lord. It'll comfort them in the Lord. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He'll understand, and he'll be built up, understanding the great truths God's given him. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church, the whole assembly. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Now if a person will speak in another language and then interpret it, well then they would profit. But if they just speak in a language and no one understands, that's no profit at all. Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And so he said, if I come speaking in an unknown tongue, how am I going to profit you folks at Corinth? Well, Paul wouldn't help them a bit. What if the greatest evangelist of all time, the greatest missionary, the Apostle Paul, would come in and said, now tonight I'm going to speak, and he'd begin to speak in Greek? And we said, oh, I wanted to hear the Apostle Paul. I wanted to hear him teach. And he spoke in another language, and I missed everything. Didn't profit me. We'd say, my, he can sure speak other languages in a fine way, can he? It doesn't help anybody. And so, in verse 6, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? What spiritual profit? None. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation. Now, by revelation, now he's talking about a type of prophecy, when a person begins to give revelations that God has given. Or by knowledge, give the knowledge that God has given. Or by prophesying, or by doctrine that God has given. Then there's going to be profit. People are going to be helped. People are going to be strengthened in the Lord. Verse 7, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? And if a person has a harp, like David had, well, a harp, if you start making some sounds, you say, what do you mean by that? It's pretty sounds, but what do you mean? But if he says, well, when I do this, and he makes a certain kind of a sound, he said, I mean this. And then I make this kind of sound, a different one, I mean that. Then it begins to have meaning. And that's the way in the service. You know, especially years ago, they used to use the trumpet, the bugler, or the bugle, and they'd go out and blow that bugle, and they'd have a certain call, and that would mean something. And the people would hear that, and so all that means we're supposed to gather together for some kind of a assembly. And they'd blow another call, and that meant we were to get up in the morning. Or blow another call, that meant we were to turn out the lights and go to bed. And so he's mentioning this, even a pipe or a harp or any kind of a musical instrument, unless you have some distinction of sound, people aren't going to know what it's all about. Verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, a sound that people don't know what it's all about, they're not certain what it means, who shall prepare himself to the battle? But if they give a sound and said ahead of time, they've taught the people, this sound means to get ready to fight, prepare to battle, then people will know. They'll be certain as to its meaning. So likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. And there are all kinds of voices in the world, and they all have signification, but you have to know what it means. You can give me I'd say a Spanish word, and it has some signification to people that understand Spanish, but what is it to me? I don't know, see, and we, most of us wouldn't know. And so he says there's many kinds of voices, many kinds of voices that give out various languages, such as German and Spanish and Portuguese and these other languages. And he said, none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. And that's just a way of saying a foreigner, barbarian. If I don't know what he's saying, I'm like a foreigner to him, and he's a foreigner to me. So, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, I mentioned last week, and this was the main thought in the few minutes I took, that all the way through here, the Lord is emphasizing understanding. Understanding. Unless a person understands, what good is it? The Lord, when he gave the gift of tongues, it was for people to understand God's truth. It was to promote the truth. It was to make people pay attention to the truth and understand the truth and believe the truth. And all of the gifts center around that. Baptism is given that people might see a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we explain what it means, and then a person goes down in the waters of baptism and comes up, and it's to teach and make clear, it's to help our understanding. And that's true of the Lord's Supper. It's to remind us of truths about Jesus Christ. It's for our understanding. Sunday school classes, they get the flannel board out for the little children, and they'll put the things up on the flannel board. Why are they doing that? They're making them just to live the Bible story and to see what it means and then to see how it applies to them. It's for their understanding. We want them to understand, to know, to follow. And so the gift of tongues was not to confuse people. It wasn't to make people get some kind of a feeling, but it was to make them understand God's truth so that they would be edified, comforted, built up, if lost, to become to the Lord Jesus Christ, if saved, to be strengthened in the Lord. It was not built. It was not intended to confuse. That's one thing today about the so-called tongues that we hear about. It brings confusion. People are amazed and they're curious, but they are not helped in understanding the Word of God. They are not convicted of sin and turned to Christ. They are not built up in the Lord, but they've had an emotional experience, no understanding. And the Lord emphasizes all through this 14th chapter, understand, understand. That's the purpose of it all, is to understand, not to confuse, not to reach the emotions, but to reach the heart and the mind. And then as it reaches it, then there will be emotions that will come, emotions of joy and peace when we know about Christ. Well, notice again at the end of verse 12, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Try to excel in building up the church. Try to excel in building up your brethren in the assembly. Notice again in verse 9 at the beginning, so likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easy to be understood. Sometimes a person uses big words and they'll seem scholarly, but if they don't understand, what good is it? The Bible says, let's make things easy to be understood. Let's use words easy to be understood. I heard a woman, maybe I've told you this story, it happened. It was humorous in a way, but sad. And this lady, it was quite a few years ago, she said, she was visiting Ashland Avenue. She hadn't been there for some time, and she couldn't come because she lived far away. She had no transportation, so she went with her daughter to a certain church, and the pastor was very well educated, but he didn't know how to bring the truth to the people. And she said, oh, he's a marvelous preacher. Said, oh, I just love to hear him speak. Then she said, and not joking, she said, but I never understand what he's talking about. Said, I'd like to be here and hear Brother Walker. Said, I could understand Brother Walker. Said, I really miss his message. But, oh, so-and-so, my, he preaches such wonderful messages, and he can use words so well. But I don't know what he's talking about. So she was trying to say something nice about him. Really was saying something that was quite a condemnation. I imagine he'd feel pretty badly if he knew that. But the Bible says here, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? That's why in the Sunday school at the young ages, they use words easy to be understood. We don't want to confuse. We don't want to show, my, isn't that teacher smart or isn't that preacher smart? But they want them to see Jesus Christ, the word of how to be saved, how to live for the Lord. They want them to see these things. And so you have to put it on the level of the people you're speaking to. And if you're speaking to little people that have don't know big words, you use small words, simple words. Using to the ordinary people, we speak ordinary words. Some people want to speak like they're speaking to all doctors in some university. That's not the way it should be. This passage makes that clear. Notice in verse 13, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now he said, if you're going to speak in an unknown tongue, or you're going to pray in an unknown tongue, also ask the Lord that you might interpret. Get the two together. You want to get up in the church of Corinth and begin to speak? Are you going to lead in prayer in an unknown tongue? Ask the Lord if you can also interpret. Two should go together. Verse 14. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. And a person can be praying through the leadership of the Spirit. You'll be praying in the Spirit using an unknown tongue. But they should also then stop and give an explanation of what the Spirit has been saying through them, that their understanding might profit. I will sing with the Spirit, and I suppose some of them must have sang with an unknown tongue. And he said, you might sing, and maybe the Spirit is leading you and giving you this gift, but yet don't misuse the gift. You sing in the Spirit in an unknown tongue, then come back with the understanding that they might understand and explain to them. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. Now, if a person begins to tell wonderful things about the Lord, and yet the Holy Spirit's leading him, but he's not explaining in a tongue they can understand, how will the people say Amen? Back in those days, and still today, many times we'll say Amen. And that means, in so many words, I agree with you. That's right. Let it be so. That's what the idea is. But if a person is speaking an unknown tongue and you don't even know what they're saying, how can you say Amen? You have to understand before you can say, well, I agree with that. Let it be so. Thank the Lord for it. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. You might give a wonderful prayer. You might pray in an unknown tongue and give thanks in a wonderful way, but the people around are not edified in listening to your prayer. And you know prayers are to edify. You read in the epistles. Paul will begin his epistles with his prayer for the church at Colossians, his prayer for the Ephesian church, the prayer for other churches, and he'll tell those churches what he thanks the Lord for in their lives and what he asks the Lord to do for them. And as you study those prayers will strengthen you and help you to understand more about the Lord. Prayers will help us. In fact, all of the Psalms are prayers. When you study the Psalms, you're studying, well, prayers are songs of praise. But they're addressed to the Lord. And that's what prayer is when you address something to the Lord. We sing a song. We sang songs tonight. What were we doing? We were singing to the Lord. And when we address it, it's a type of prayer. It's a type of prayer of praise. When we prayed without music, again, it was prayer, asking and thanking and requesting things of the Lord. But if I would do that in an unknown tongue, or these brethren that pray, if they would do it in an unknown tongue, we wouldn't know what it was. We wouldn't be helped spiritually. We couldn't say Amen. We couldn't agree with it because we wouldn't know what was said. Verse 17 again, for thou verily or truly givest thanks well. You do a good job, but the other is not edified. Nobody's built up. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. And Paul had this gift and he had it in abundance. He said, I do it more than any member of the church at Corinth. But he said, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding. I'd rather speak five words that would help people to understand and get the truth across, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He says it's better five words in English to English-speaking people than 10,000 words in Chinese to English-speaking people. Brethren, he said, be not children in understanding. Don't be children in making things clear to people. Howbeit in malice be ye children, be like a child in evil. A child is very innocent compared to adults. And here, be like a small child in evil or malice, but in understanding be men. Now a little child comes up and says, what are you saying, son? His little brother come along. He's saying, give me a nickel. He wants a candy bar. Oh, I didn't understand him. Don't be like that child in understanding. Be like a man that can make things clear as the noonday sun and they can see it and follow it. We don't want to be like children in making ourselves understood. But we want to be like children in evil. Little fella doesn't know much. Hasn't been around long enough to know much evil. He said, be like a child in evil, but in making yourself known to other people and helping other people, make things as clear, make things to be understood in a very clear way. And we're going to stop there in 1 Corinthians, but I want to remind you of Acts, the second chapter. Now that's the first time that this is mentioned in the Bible. And I'd like for us to turn there quickly, and I want to point out just a couple things to you, and then we're going to close. In Acts, the second chapter, here the church at Jerusalem was gathered together in a meeting place. And a great miracle took place the first time that this gift of tongues appeared. Notice in verse 3, Acts 2, verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now there's two parts, as I've mentioned many times before, there's two parts to the gift of tongues. There's the speaking part and the seeing part. In the Bible, they not only heard them speak in a different language that these people had never learned before, but they also saw something on the person that was speaking. And it says that upon each person that would speak in an unknown tongue, there would be a divided or a cloven tongue that looked like fire. Now, if I had the real gift of tongues tonight, you'd hear me speak in some language like Chinese that I had never studied before, and I would speak it fluently, but at the same time, you would see something. You would see a tongue with your eyes. A tongue of, it looked like a fire, a flame of fire that was divided. You know, like fire, it's kind of reddish, reddish flame. Sticking up there like a tongue, but a divided tongue, a cloven tongue. That's one reason I know today nobody has it. The few cases I've seen of people who thought they had the gift of tongues, they didn't have anything I could see, except ones I saw, they were all excited and passed out and shaking their hands, blah, 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 stuff like that. But there was nothing you could see like this. But in these days, they looked and saw something. The Bible said they heard and saw. Look here in this same chapter, Acts, the second chapter. Let's see. I don't see it just offhand. Verse 33. Notice what it says in verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted," and that's speaking about Jesus, "having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this." You say, what has he shed forth? This gift of tongues, "which ye now see and hear." The gift of tongues was seen and heard. You turn back to the first part of Acts, the first part of the second chapter, and verse 3, "And there appeared unto them." Now, if something appears to you, that appears to your eyesight. You see it. "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." That's what they saw. Now, what did they hear? "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so there's two parts to the gift of tongues. And a person who has the gift today, and no one does today, I've never met a person, heard of a person in any time in our day, in fact, since New Testament days, that has the gift of tongues as they had it here. Notice also in verse 6, what they spoke in was languages, tongues that could be understood. "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." And they went on to say, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And these people said, "Well, look, these fellows are from Galilee. They don't know my language, and yet they're speaking in my language. How is it they know my language? How is it they know my tongue?" Well, see, this was the way it is. If a person has the gift of tongues today to speak in a language that is in existence today that somebody can understand, that speaks that language. And the amazing part about the gift of tongues is that the person that's speaking has never spend any time learning. It is a miracle that they've learned it just like that. Notice something else about it. Verse 11. He mentions Cretes and Arabians. Those were two of the languages that they were speaking. And then it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They not only spoke in languages that the people understood, but they also spoke about the Lord himself. They spoke about the wonderful works of God. Now there's two great works of God, the work of creation, and the second work is the work of salvation. And as you go on in this second chapter of Acts, the work they were emphasizing was the work of salvation that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. They were talking about the works of God. Now, when I have heard of anybody speaking today, no matter how sincere they are, and I grant them they're sincere, at least most of them, supposing they're sincere, one thing for sure, they do not have the two parts. It's not something you can see and hear. They're not speaking in a language that other people in the audience can understand, and they're not speaking on the wonderful works of God's bringing out the teachings of the Scripture and bringing glory to the Lord. I tell you what it does usually is bring glory to the person that's making the sound. The person is emotionally, well, they get a kind of a high emotionally and get all this feeling like they're on a cloud. That's the way they describe it. They say, oh, I felt so wonderful. That's beside the point, how you feel. A lot of things that make you feel wonderful for a time. But this isn't for the purpose of making people feel good, making their flesh tingle. It's for the purpose of reaching the hearts and minds of people with the truth of God. That's the purpose of it. It brings glory to the person. It does not bring glory to the Lord. And it is not like what we have in the Scripture. How do you know? Acts 2, what's it mean? That's as clear as it can be. I don't know of any commentators that would say differently than that. There may be, but the language says it. Something they could see and hear. It was a language they could understand. It was a message in that language that brought glory to God and not to the person. The Corinthian church was taking that and beginning to misuse it, and they were condemned for it. And Paul said this, listen, you're not helping people to understand. You're confusing them. You're just showing off. You're not building these people up and edifying them and helping them. And he said, you try to excel in edifying and helping people, not showing off what God's given. Well, we're thankful for what God has taught us in the Word here. We want to not only apply it to our own life, but then maybe there's people that don't know. And you sincerely and helpfully in a kind way try to point out what God's Word says on it. It helped a lot of people. Let us bow in prayer and we'll be dismissed. And Brother Taylor, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?